Welcome again to our study on the second epistle of Paul to the Corinthian church. And in this epistle, he is correcting a number of problems that arose from the first epistle and also giving fresh instruction. And in particular, he's speaking on giving. And I feel rather burdened to speak on this subject of giving so that we might clearly understand the laws of giving according to the Word of God. Now, giving is in the heart of man because we're like God. We're in the nature likeness of God, and God gave. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Therefore, the nature of love is to give. And as God loves to give and has given, so man loves to give. And it's very interesting, the two aspects of sometimes the life of a man. The first part of his life, he seeks to gather. He seeks to gather. He covets to become rich. And then, when he's acquired his riches, he suddenly realizes, that does not satisfy me. Money does not satisfy. And therefore, how can I obtain satisfaction? And then he looks around him and he sees people in need. And so he says, now then, by giving to them and by giving them a better life, I will be satisfied. I will be satisfied. So then we have the philanthropist who loves to give. That's what it means, Philo, love to give. And so he feels that by giving to the poor, he is going to get satisfaction. In fact, there are some people who have even created industries, and those industries have the sole purpose of acquiring money so that their, shall I say, their founders could become benefactors of others. And I've been studying some of these just recently. But I want to say this, that people think because they give to the poor or give to others who are less fortunate, they will be accepted in heaven. And that is something that the Apostle Paul wants to correct. And so in 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 5 onwards, he looks at the Corinthian church and he describes, if I could say this, the law of giving. The law of giving. And he says this, they first gave themselves to the Lord. Now that is a prime prerequisite for giving. You have to give yourself to the Lord. You have to give yourself to the Lord. You know, some philanthropists are atheists. When they die, well, there's no mention of the life hereafter for them. Or if there is, it's a bit false, because they have never sought the presence of God. And I'm much concerned because many people are rich and even the poor love to give. But I want to establish this law of giving, so that what you give shall be written in heaven and be waiting for you there. The first step in giving is to give yourselves to the Lord. That's the first step. And then from that, there comes step number two. And that was that the church or the congregation gave themselves to the church. You want to be a member of a church, you know, and ask God, as many churches, ask God which church he approves of, and ask God that one in particular that he wants to join you to that congregation. One with the same vision that he has for your life, and one that you will enjoy being a member of. You will enjoy the other members of that congregation. So there's 2 points. Number one, giving yourself to the Lord. Number two, joining a church of God's choosing for your life. That will develop you. And then you can give, you see, and your giving is accepted. See, giving to the church, giving to the projects that the church has. And many churches, you know, have quite wonderful, shall I say, ministries to the poor. And in fact, you know, we have ourselves and our fellowship, we seek to minister to those not only in our country, but also overseas to the poor, to feed the poor, to ensure that they get good meals each day. Well, it's very satisfying that. But you see, we don't want people concentrated on the thought of what they're doing for others, but their relationship to the Lord. That is very important. We have people who give quite large sums at times, but they do it to assuage their conscience. I've known people who have been very rich, lived a very immoral life, but have given quite large sums to churches, thinking that by giving, they're covering their sins. And that's not true. That side must be addressed. That must be addressed. You cannot think that by giving to God, in the sense of giving to the poor, that he is going to overlook your sins. Do you know, the psalmist says this. He says, you know, God esteems the praises of his people greater than all the burnt offerings. You know, in the olden days they used to give oxen, they used to give sheep, goats and so forth as sacrifices. And sometimes the rich would give, you know, colossal numbers of sheep as burnt offerings to God. But King David said, you know, what God desires, and in the sight of God, which is more important than all those burnt offerings, is your praises. In other words, your relationship to God is far more important than your giving. But you cannot ignore giving, of course. And I want to touch on the essentiality of giving too. But I want to tell you the truth, you see, that giving is no substitute for your relationship and your life with God. That comes first. Giving is an outflow of your love for God. And many have made the mistake, regretfully to their eternal loss, by thinking that in giving, they are covering their sins. Oh, no. No, no, not at all. No. Your giving will not cover your sins. Your sins must be dealt with. And then from a pure heart, give. Give, give, give. Thinking of nothing in return, but you do get things in return. You know, I just like to quote a few scriptures to you so that you understand how God looks at giving. First of all, those that give to the poor, King Solomon tells us in Proverbs, they that give to the poor, they lend to God who will repay. In other words, as we give, we are stocking up for ourselves in heaven above great treasures, which God will release to us here on earth. You know, those that give are always cared for. And who does give? And that's a very interesting point. You know, we think of the great philanthropists, Carnegie and Rockefellers and so forth. But do you know this? That General Booth of the Salvation Army, he had many projects, oh, many, many projects, whereby he helped the poor, had houses and so forth to look after them. Did a wonderful work. And one day, he was received in Buckingham Palace, which is the residence of the sovereign, by Queen Mary and two other queens, the former queen and the queen of Russia. Now, they're all related. Anyway, they received him. And one of the queens asked General Booth, well, you must need a tremendous amount of money to fulfill all these projects. He said, yes, I do. She said, well, who underwrites you, thinking that there would be some of these wealthy men? Oh, he said, my money comes from the poor. My money comes from the poor. It's the poor that give, not the rich. The poor that give, not the rich. And so, this is what Paul is writing to the Corinthians. He said, out of your deep poverty abounded all the riches of this grace. The Corinthian church was a poor church. The church of Macedonia, from where he was writing, was also a poor church. But, he said, from the depth of their poverty, they were giving. It's very interesting that those who give are often very poor. But you know, King David said this concerning the righteous. He said, I have never seen the righteous begging for bread. Now, King David lived a long time. He lived 70 years, which in those days was a long time. And he said, throughout my lifetime, I have never seen the righteous begging for bread. Never. Never seen them begging for bread. You know, God provides. You see, he said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be given unto you. Everything you need shall be provided. You see, the poor, in their righteousness, they had given their lives to the Lord, given themselves to the church, and out of their deep poverty, they had given coins, as it were, to the Lord's work. Yeah, they would never suffer. They would always have what they needed provided. I was talking to a couple, and they said, you know, we have less money now than we had before. Before, we had all kinds of problems. We had the money, but somehow that money was not sufficient to provide for all our needs. Now we are concentrating on seeking God. And it's true, they said, we have less money now, but all our needs are met. We have no debts. No debts. Interesting, isn't it? Well, now, I want to speak also on the necessity for giving. And I want to do it also from Malachi. Malachi chapter 3 and verse 5 onwards. And that speaks of the fact that God, at this certain epoch in the history of the children of Israel, and they had built the temple of Ezra, and that temple was in neglect. And he said, you are robbing God. You are robbing me, God said. And they respond, well, how are we robbing you? And he replies, well, you're not giving tithes. You're not paying your tithes. Therefore, you're robbing me. Now, that's a terrible thing, to be a robber and a thief. Do you know there were some people that had a revelation of hell, and hell is in the earth, but it's a tremendous place. There are all kinds of sections in hell of suffering and torment and so forth. But in a certain place in hell where it was so very, very hot, terrible hot heat, and yet that heat does not consume people. They have to live in that terrible heat. And they were wearing plaques upon their chest of a metal that could not be affected by the heat. And on these plaques were written their crimes. One had adultery and so forth. But on some there were written, no tither, non-tither. In other words, their crime that sent them down to hell was they were not tithing. They were not tithing. They were not tithing. They were robbers. And you say, well, what is so wrong in not tithing? Well, do you realize that the church is dependent upon tithes? It's dependent upon the offerings. You know, in order to evangelize, in order to feed the poor, the church has to have money. And God has ordained that that money comes from tithing. And here God is saying in Malachi, you are robbing me because you're not tithing. And then he says this, you start tithing, I'll open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that you cannot contain. That you cannot contain. If we will tithe, then God will pour us out a blessing, financial blessing, as well as spiritual blessing, that we cannot contain. Well now, what's it going to be for us? You know, are we going to obey God's word? Are we going to give? See, that is the question. That is the question. And then another thing that you've got to consider is this. This question of giving. Now, in Germany, there was a time when the finances collapsed in Germany a number of years ago. And there was a man who owned a factory, a very rich man. And he was a believer. He didn't pay tithes. But a missionary came to him one day from the Amazon in Brazil. And the rich man said to the missionary, well, what do you need? He said, well, I need a mule so that I can go on the mountains and so forth and fulfill my ministry. And so the rich man said, well, how much does a meal cost? So he told him, so he gave him a check. He said, there you are, that's for the meal. Well, sometime afterwards, you see, the German economy collapsed, and that man lost everything. Do you know what his testimony was? He said, all I've got in heaven is a mule. Is a mule. We were in Lebanon, many years ago, I think maybe in the 70s, something like that. And that story was recounted to a number of rich men around the table. And they were being encouraged to give to their churches so that churches might flourish and propagate the gospel. And, you know, a little time afterwards, well, Lebanon collapsed. Well, things are not looking too good worldwide, are they? Why not give while you have it? Anyway, here is the thought of giving. You know, Paul develops this. And he says, look, he that soweth sparingly reaps sparingly. I mean, we have a garden. And if you only put a little number of seeds or potatoes or whatever you're sowing in the garden, you're only going to reap according to what you've sown. Well now, he that soweth sparingly is going to reap sparingly. Well, the idea is to reap abundantly. And so the more we sow, the more we shall reap. The more we shall reap. And so there is that thought, you see, that as we disperse, so it will be given to us. You know, there's a beautiful verse in Isaiah along this. Blessed is he that soweth beside all waters. You know, it's wonderful to have the opportunity to give. It's wonderful to have the opportunity to give in various situations. Because, you see, it means that we shall reap in those situations too. And I want to encourage you, you know, to realize this is a ministry that everybody can participate in. You say, well, I don't have the money. Ah, no. What did the Lord say? He said, that widow who put in the last of her coins gave more than all the rich men who gave of their abundance. And so the point that I want to bring out here is very important indeed, you see. Some have had visions of that house that widow has in heaven, one of the most sumptuous houses you could believe in. Why? Because she gave more than the others. It's from one's poverty that the Macedonian church gave. And it was held up to the Corinthians to do likewise. No. Give, and it shall be given to you. Pressed down, running over, shall men indeed put into your baskets. Oh no. You see, as we give, it shall be given to us. And that is one of the keys whereby we have sufficiency in this life. It is to give. Because that's the law of God. Give and it shall be given to you. And you see, this is how I want to close. I want to close with this thought, you see. The nature of God is to give. The nature of God is to give. You think God is a father? Oh, he is the father, of course. But you know, what do parents love to do? They love to give to their children. I had a lecture just recently from grandparents
I said, why are grandparents so attracted to their grandchildren? They said, because we want to spoil them. We want to give to them. And when we were raising them, we didn't have the wherewithal to do what we really wanted to do for them. But now, in retirement, we have the money, we are able to spoil our grandchildren, and we want to give. We want to give. You see, that's the nature of God. He wants to give to us, and give in abundance. And you see, what opens his hands to be able to give to us is as we give, he can give to us. That is the law of giving. And so as we sow in abundance, God will give to us in abundance. And you remember Job, when he finished his trial, he became again the richest man in the East. And after perhaps trials, and we come through those trials, you know, God will give unto us liberally, because the liberal soul shall live by his liberality. And I want you to be liberal givers, because God loveth a cheerful giver. And as you rejoice in the ability to give, then it delights the heart of God. And as you give to the poor, you are lending to God, who will repay you. Give and it shall be given to you. Sow in abundance and you will reap in abundance, and you will be able to be a blessing unto many. May God bless you and make you a cheerful giver for his name. Give to him first, give yourself to him first, and then give to others. Amen.